You know, I grew up in a normal house with a mom and a dad, praise the Here. But we weren't rich or anything. In actual fact, I remember there was a season in our lives where we were roaming the neighborhood collecting bottles. And I remember my dad made it a lot of fun to collect the bottles and to get it on the bucket and then go hand it in and stuff. Only years later did I hear the story that we had nothing, and that was so that we can have bread in the house and for them actually just to be able to buy stuff. I remember we drove this old yellow Hilux bucket. My dad sort of had a paving business. It wasn't going very well, and that thing was ugly, man. Oh, and I remember if we drove to church, that we would lie flat in the buck. And my dad was in the strict orders to stop a block before the church and let us get out because we just didn't want to be seen with him. You know, and as I grew up, I was never this confident young man. I was this drawn back person, you know, sort of in my own thoughts and mind and very, what do you mean it, timid. I wouldn't even walk into a shop and ask what a sweet cost. I had one friend my whole school career, and so I was always the odd child, the weird one, and so on. I had two siblings. The two of them got on like a house on fire, and I was always the sort of the one left to the side. And I remember the day that Jesus encountered me. That I had an encounter with him, that someone shared with me the gospel. And actually, in fact, it was a girl that I was dating. Well, I can't call it dating, but I call it dating. And I still to this day believe that she only came into my life to give her mother the opportunity to share the gospel with me. And that's it, where everything changed. And when I gave my life to Jesus, I won't say it was a radical change, but it almost was, where I went from this introvert person to an extrovert, where everything shifted in my life and everything changed. And you know, when I look back, I've owned two businesses. The first business went bust in 2 weeks. It was about 3 years old up in Potchefstroom, and they had my own plumbing business, and I can't say we did well. It was sort of average. We sort of lived hand to mouth kind of thing. And in 2 weeks, suddenly everything died and there was nothing. And God made a way for me to work for the council. And long story short, we eventually moved down to Cape Town on the word of the Lord saying, go. And we came to Cape Town, and it was just Lored and I. We had no family in Cape Town, nothing. All our family is up in Joburg. So we started here. And the last thing that I wanted to do was actually be in business again, because obviously now I got hurt. I felt like a failure, you know. I didn't want anything to do with business. And we were part of a ministry in Cape Town, and my small group leader one day sat me down and said, Kobus, here's $1,000. Put in some flyers and start your own business. Oh, and I reluctantly did that, eh? Oh. In any case, I started my business with my Honda Ballard and my trailer, driving around, walking the streets, handing out pamphlets and stuff. In the meantime, serving at church, doing Bible school and all stuff like that. And we grew. And 8.5 years later, I sold that business when God called me into ministry. And it was almost like everything that went bust in Potchefstroom, God restored and reclaimed in that moment. And for the last, I don't know how many years, I have had the privilege to be in some form of full-time ministry, and it's been incredible to see what God has done in our lives. But, you know, if I look at my life, I think for us in this world, we sometimes look at our lives and we sort of gauge whether we are all right on what we have and what we don't have, and whether, you know, we've got a lot or where we stay and all these things. But if I look back in my life, I don't see that we were ever like super rich. In actual fact, my brother's estate agent, and he did amazing. I mean, he's really blessed in that sense, and he's got a lot of stuff. And I was always kind of jealous at him, how, you know, so simple, but he makes so much money. And here I am slogging my heart off, you know, even in my business. If you know anything about business, it's there, then it's there, and then it's there again, or maybe it's just in the middle. Maybe it's just at the bottom. I don't know. You know, it's like sometimes you wake up and you think, okay, Lord, rapture is now a good idea. You know, I don't want anything to do with this, and I just want to go home. And I can't say, you know, I've always thought of my life as a life that's been difficult. I've never had this sense of just everything is going easy. You know, you always look at other people's lives and you go like, man, look at it, it must just be easy. I just want to see, you know, have a lot of stuff. If I want to go overseas, I just want to go overseas. And then we always have to scheme and do these things. And you can so easily, when that's your life and when you look at your life or that's perception of your life, go and go, everything is a disaster. Everything is all fall down. And if I really go and sit still now and I look back at my life, I can see the blessing of God right through it. You know, where I felt there was failure, where I felt there was no blessing, I can see how God actually pitched in my life, how he carried me through, how he did stuff in my life. And I realized, you know, we in this world can pursue stuff, but whose blessing do we actually see? Do we see God's blessing in our lives? Do we recognize it? Do we celebrate it? Do we go, God, you are so awesome? And if you look at the Israelites, so many times God said to them, listen, build something so that you can remember how I have impacted your life. And now if I go look back and I see all the Bible school certificates, I think of the people that God has encountered through my life, through our lives. I look at the impact of God in my children's lives. I realize that I'm super blessed. I know that everything that I own today is not because I'm so ulik. But I know it's because God has blessed us with so much. And I know there's times where we made the unpopular decision. Where we said no to stuff. Where we choose Jesus. Where we choose the way where God, we felt God was leading us instead of what we thought our minds should do. And sometimes those decisions were very hard. Like I said, it was not popular. Sometimes our family didn't like us because we chose to follow Jesus Christ regardless of what he was saying. And I believe we're seeing God's blessing in our lives at the moment because we were obedient in those moments. And I want to encourage you as you walk with God, I don't know where you are, what you're facing, what challenges you are facing, but I do want to encourage you to seek Jesus. To hear his voice where he instructs you to turn left into the right. You know, maybe the decision is fine, take that job or go study that or whatever, but maybe Jesus wants to lead you on a different road. The narrow road. The one that's not so broad. Maybe it's the road that's upstream to what the world currently thinks you should do. But hear his voice. Seek his face so that you can understand. And I stand here today and I really consider myself as blessed. Yeah, do I still have stuff? Man, I still have stuff. I wish at 50, you know, stuff will stop. You know, when you turn 50, this would be like, okay, that's it. Now everything is smooth sailing from here on till you die. Nah? That would be awesome. Lord, can we talk about this perk? I've got an idea, Father. You know? But this life, we will always have stuff that come against us, that faces us, that makes us want to draw back or run away or whatever. But when we live and move and have our breath in him, we see God's blessing on our lives. And sometimes we just need to pause and see what God is actually doing. Now, I want to just bring us back to Psalm 1. If you don't know Psalm 1 by now, Psalm 1 is our verse for this year. And man, I trust you won't get tired of it. I trust that you will engage it and you will grow in it. But it says this, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. And we've spoken about the walk, the stand, and the sit. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And I think for me this morning, this is the key, is where that delight is in the law of the Lord. That where I find my joy, where, you know, if you delight in something, it kind of kindles something in you, right? If you know, if you should see Benny next to the river or the dam, you know, he delights in fishing, especially if that rod's like standing like this, and then he knows like he's caught the biggest fish today. Then Benny is all smiles, and suddenly we can have boerewors because Benny is vrygewig. No, I'm joking, Benny. But we receive those boerewors in any case. But he delights in doing that. And so many of you have got hobbies and stuff that you're pursuing. I just want to encourage you. If COVID has caused you to walk away from your hobbies, maybe just take it up again. Just have some fun. Stop being so serious. All right? But he delights in the law of the Lord. This is what I want us to see this morning, is where that delight, that pleasure, that engaging God's word, where it's a joy to actually sit with the word of God. And on his law, he meditates day and night. And I said previously in another sermon, day and night is a long time. That's a lot of time to engage the word of the Lord. And I think if your 5 minutes doesn't make it, then maybe you should try day and night. Okay. And then he says, if you do that, he is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and his leaf does not wither, and all it does prospers. And you know, for me, that last sentence is incredible. Is if I delight in the law of the Lord, what happens? All that I do prosper. All that I do prosper. It's like when I am in God's presence, it flows out into everything that I do. So if the stuff that you are doing is not prospering, maybe you should ask yourself, in what am I delighting? Where is my time going? Where is my pleasure going? What am I enjoying? Is that more than what I'm actually supposed to get from the law of the Lord, from his presence, from being next to that river? Am I drawing from somewhere else? Now, this morning, we're going to have a double barrel sermon where I'm going to kick it off and Loret's going to take it over, because in this week, as we prepared, we couldn't decide who's going to preach this morning. And when we compared notes, we thought, wow, we actually got the same thing that we're talking about. And God is just so faithful, because God is just stirring in both our hearts the same thing. And I believe you will be blessed this morning. So Jeremiah says this, so he paints this picture, and we'll read this now, but Jeremiah paints the other side of the story. Those that do not walk with the Lord, and listen to this is quite active. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man. That's a strong statement. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. So when I choose to trust people, I have a problem. When I choose to put my trust in my flesh, I have a problem. Okay? Whose heart turns away from the Lord. Because that is normally the result. When I consult people, when I trust people's opinions more than I do trust the word of the Lord, then it causes my heart to turn away from the Lord. You know, even at this time where we're facing so much information coming our way, that if we put our trust in those things, it will cause us to actually walk away from God. Because we're going to put our trust in man, in the flesh, and not in our God who is able to do anything, correct? Listen, verse 6, he says, he is like a shrub in the desert. There's nothing good here. And shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched lands of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. If you do not choose God, you will face this in some form or way. And you know, so sometimes in our walk with Jesus, I think we choose to walk by our flesh, and this happens, and we go, Father, but why? Why is this happening to me? Why am I now in this salt place, in this desert place? And he's like, just come a bit closer. You know, and I so love what our Heavenly Father does, is sometimes he allows these things in our lives simply to call us closer to him. It's when I make the stupid decision sometimes, when I choose to rely more on my flesh and I walk away, then he will even through that call me into a deeper relationship with him. You know, so many times when we've gone through a trial, or we face stuff, or we've walked through stuff, some deep valleys that we've walked through, when we get to the other side, I actually have to stand still and go, wow, Father, I've grown in my relationship with you. in the way that I trust you, in the way that I seek you, in the way that I desire you, things have changed. But when I choose in that trial to walk away from him, that's when it becomes really difficult. It's when I pursue him, I actually see his blessing. And that's what verse 7 says. He says, blessed is the man. He's echoing what Psalms is saying. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the waters that stands out, sends out its root by the stream and does not fear when the heat comes. For its leaves remain green and it's not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Now I have this picture of this tree standing next to the river. And if you've ever been next to a river, you'll see those trees' roots going like deep. And it goes everywhere. It's almost like the trees become fratsig. Yeah, have you seen that? Because, I mean, you'll see the same tree somewhere else, and you won't really see roots and stuff. But man, when it's standing next to a river, just go try, what's it, bome? Wilgerbome? What's a willow tree, ne? Yes, a willow tree next to a river. Go look at that thing. Man, it's fratsig. It's got roots everywhere. And that leaves are green and it's prospering and everything. And that's the picture I have in my mind is if I am that tree that are planted next to that river, man, I can just grow. I can just let my roots go everywhere and just suck it all up from this river. And then he says here, man, this tree does not worry. But I want to take us back to the first thing. He says twice. He says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. So it's not just a matter of me saying, oh, but I trust God. It's a matter of I'm saying that God is my only trust. He's the source of my trust. He is trust. That is who God is for me. So I'm putting everything, all my eggs in this basket. And I trust him fully, completely, until death. And in earthly terms, you know, even in banking terms, you never put your eggs in one basket. You have to diversify. You put it everywhere. You know, reduce your risk and everything. And this says, listen, blessed is the man who trusts in God and whose trust is the Lord. So there is nothing, no one, not the flesh, not the arm of my own strength, not anything. My trust is completely in the Lord. And that person who trusts God will have well-established roots going out everywhere into that river. And then he says he does not fear when the heat comes. Have you ever felt the heat in your life? The heat is... Okay, never mind. But we all face heat. We all face challenges. And when that heat comes, it says, I'm not bothered. I'm okay. I'm fine with that actually happening because I'm here next to the river. And what happens when the heat comes and the river is well-watered, man, that thing just flourishes. Suddenly it just bears fruit and it does things. I think my fruit trees at the moment is so confused. They're not sure whether it's summer or winter. They make flowers and then they drop the flowers. And they're like, should we bear, should we not bear? You know, what's going on in this river? This tree by the river is going, man, I could just go for it. Okay? It says his leaves remain green. That is a sign of life, of blessing and prosperity. His leaves remain green. He is not anxious in the year of drought. Ooh. It's Cape Town, we've just been through a year of doubt. Drought. And doubt. Do you remember that? Do you remember? I mean, first we're talking, you know, we're going to die. This is our new reality, no water. You know, Cape Town is going to die. And I went like, what the? Nah. And then that passed. God showed himself amazing. You know, the rains came. Our dams are full. Even this year, you know, it's amazing. We don't talk about drought anymore. COVID. We're all going to die. It's COVID, you know. We're not going to make it. It's COVID. Come on. Jesus is going to pitch on the scene and we're going to see his majesty. We are standing next to that river in a drought. In a doubt. And we're going, I've got fruit. You see, but he's not anxious. Are you anxious? Is this stuff that make you anxious? Just stand next to the river. Is this stuff that makes you fearful? Just get next to the river. Our worship this morning was again most of this. We were just worshiping God. We're focusing on Him. And then that last part says, He does not cease to bear fruit. You know who should be the fruitful at this time, the most fruitful? Is the children of God. They should be the ones that are blessed, that prosper. Because our God is almighty. No pandemic, no drought, no nothing can hinder Him from blessing and prospering us. There's so many testimonies of people sitting here in a pandemic who got work, that are blessed. I don't know, I have to scan this quickly, but I don't think I know of anybody in this church that were fired as a result of what's happening on. We are actually moving forward. And we need to call those things. Psalm 46 says this so beautifully. Verse 1 to 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Why will we not fear? Because God is our refuge and our strength. He is our very present help in trouble. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the sea, the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble in its swelling, we will not fear. We will not be shaken. Because our God is with us. Our God is for us. We can walk in strength because He is our God. Because you know what? We are blessed. Amen?
So, where to from here? I read a very interesting portion in the week. Well, actually, a week or two ago already, and I've been meditating, and then I couldn't really get a good grip on it. And then when Kobus preached a week or two ago, and he preached about Psalm 1 again, the penny dropped, and I realized what it was. So I want to read to you Hebrews 12, verse 12 to 29. It's a little bit of a long scripture, so I'm going to break it up, and then we're going to talk about bits and pieces. So the first part, it says, Therefore, because we are standing, or we should be planted next to the streams. In fact, the piece before this in Hebrews, it actually talks about you have to endure, you have to finish the race, you have to carry on. Don't give up, don't give in to sin, don't sin. So it's like your Christian walk, keep going. And he says, therefore, lift your drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what was lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. So maybe you feel a little bit drooping, you know, like we've got one of those plants at home. When it doesn't get enough water, I like those plants because the rest don't survive. This one speaks to me. When it doesn't get water, it goes all droopy. It just goes, whew. And then when we give it water, within an hour, it goes whoop, and up is the leaves again. So maybe you feel like a plant that is drooping. Maybe you feel tired. Maybe your knees feels like they need to be strengthened again. So he says here, strengthen. Strengthen those weak knees. Make straight the paths. Lift up your drooping hands. So it's a little bit of an action from your side. It is like, you know, pulling yourself together and say, God is my strength, and who do I put my trust? And you start to draw strength from the stream next to which you are planted so that you can lift and strengthen. And then it carries on in verse, where are we now? Not sure which verse number that is. But anyways, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled, and no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. And when I read that, this is the part that troubled me, and I was like, wait a minute. Why is Esau specifically mentioned here as if he has committed this terrible, terrible sin, along with sexual immorality? We now see Esau, who sold his birthright for a bowl of lentil soup, is like this, you know, frowned upon. It's like, what is the big deal here with him selling his birthright? But then I realized that Esau has chosen temporary blessing over God's eternal blessing. For Esau, it was more important to have a blessing right now, to have that bowl of soup, to nourish his flesh, than to have God's blessing that comes with his birthright. So in Israel, or the Hebrews, their tradition or their ways of doing would be that the firstborn would be the one that gets blessed by the father. And that blessing was blessing from God that would carry him through the rest of his life. And that was something that the firstborn would get. And here Esau is, and he says, ugh, you know, what's the big deal? Who needs that? I can live without that. And if we look at Psalm 1, and you see, and God says, blessed is the one, you know, that's planted next to the stream of living water. And then later he says you have to meditate on the word day and night. And then you might say, ugh, what's the big deal? No, to be so rooted in God's word, that's effort. That is, it takes time to be rooted into God's word. It takes effort. You know, is it really worth it to have that blessing that God is speaking about? And that was Esau's attitude at that stage. Temporary blessing is more important. Can I have the stuff? Can I have the things that's important in this world? And then he says that when he realized what he has done, he couldn't get it back. And that was the sad part of this. So is it, maybe you might think it's not a big deal to mingle with the world. It's not a big deal to compromise on things here and there. Is it a big deal? But if you do that, are you trusting God completely to get his blessing in the way that he's speaking? Or are you going to be like that shrub in the desert because you are putting your trust in man instead of putting your trust in God? Verse 18, he picks it up again and he says, for you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the heaven beg that no further messages may be spoken to them. So just to quickly refer back to what he's talking about here, and this was part of the thing that confused me. I was like, he's jumping from Esau, who sold his birthright for a bowl of lentil soup, and he is jumping to the place where Israel is standing in front of the mountain of Sinai, and God wants to speak to them. So they gather, all the Israelites gather together. God is going to speak to them. And as God wants to speak to them, and it's lightning, and it's clouds, and it's rumble, and it's a trumpet, and a loud voice, they say, whoa, stop the lorry. We're not rightful. We can't do this. We don't want to hear God. Please don't speak to us. We can't take this. We don't want to. And they say, speak to Moses. You can speak to Moses. We don't want this. So he's talking about that. And then I'm just going to jump to verse 22, and he says, but so when you hear God speak, you don't even have that fearful experience like the Israelites had. But he says, but you have come to the Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So this is what we have. We have a mediator. We have Jesus. And when he speaks, it's not even that fearful experience. So God desires to speak to Israel, but Israel got scared. They didn't want to. We have a mediator, and yet we still go and we say, I don't know if I want to hear what God says. Or we hear, but we don't want to do what God says. So do you make time to listen to God? Do you actually have those times in his presence where he can speak to you? And if he speaks, do you listen and do you obey? Do you love his word? So these are just questions we have to ask, because in verse 25, he then says, see that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, things that have been made in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that is not shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So here he goes, and he says, do not refuse him who is speaking. Don't be like the Israelites that said, no, don't speak to me. Don't be like Esau who says, no, I don't want your blessing. But if I go back to Psalm 1, just want to get it here. If I go back to Psalm 1, and he says, so blessed is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down where the scornful gather, but his delight and desire is in the law of the Lord, and his law, the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates by day and night. And here it comes, do we love the word of God? Are we rooted into the word of God? Do we want to hear God? Because that is when we receive our blessing. Or do we reject hearing God? We don't want to hear his voice. We don't want to hear his word. We don't want to do what he wants us to do. And in that place, he comes and he says, we are part of an unshakable kingdom. So last week, Kuba says, we are ever advancing, part of an ever advancing kingdom. But we're also part of an unshakable kingdom. And if things in this world happen that shakes, it is only the everlasting stuff, the lasting stuff that will remain. Everything else that is flesh, that is worldly, will be shaken off. And that's why we sometimes need these times of shaking. We need to see what remains when the shaking comes, where the things are that falls away. But we are rooted. We are like that tree that Kubus is talking about that is deeply rooted next to the river. And the shaking will not cause the tree to be shaken, but it will be firmly rooted. So only things that are eternal will stand when God shakes the earth. The things of this world is temporary. The blessings of this world is temporary. But the blessings of God is eternal and unshakable. So where do you put your trust this morning? Do you trust completely in God, wholeheartedly? trust in him and let him be trust to you. He is our very present help. He is our rock. He's the one that keeps us sturdy. So don't despise the blessing of God. Don't choose the temporary blessing. God's blessing is eternal and unshakable. And to receive that blessing, we need to be rooted and grounded into God's word. We need to listen and obey. Amen. So let's just pray. Let's just bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can be part of an unshakable kingdom. Thank you, Father, just for your blessing that is so abundant for us. But help us to do the things that you want us to do. Father, the things that is good for us, the things that make us part of this unshakable kingdom. And maybe you can just this morning just reflect and ask the Holy Spirit to show you the things that are not unshakable. The things that you have identified in this time that is being shaken in your life. And bring that before God. Let him remove the things that are shakable. And Father, I pray that as we draw close to you, Father, as we hear your word, as we read your word, as we make time to spend in your presence, Lord, that you will show us the things that we have to invest in that is unshakable. Father, that you will pour out these blessings that you are talking about, blessings that will cause us to bear fruit no matter what the situation is. Father, those blessings that causes us to have the healing of the nation in our lives, to give to others, not just ourselves. Father, because fruit is something that needs to be shared, that others can enjoy. And Father, if the world looks at us, let them see what the blessing of God, that is evident in our lives. And maybe you have to repent this morning where you know that you've put your trust in man, that you know that you've made your own plans. You know, sometimes we ask God, Lord, should I do this or should I do that? And then we wait and God says nothing. And then we decide that's a yes. So if God says nothing, it means wait. And maybe you've run ahead of God because you didn't hear him. And maybe you need to repent of that this morning. Thank you, Father, that you shake off everything that is not from you. And Father, we thank you that we can walk out of here blessed, prosperous, and happy to be envied because we are living and we are rooted in you. And you are our trust, and you are the source of our trust, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.